morning. I'm not an Iowa State fan. Some of you might know, but Paul Rhodes has a phrase. There's a little tag on the front of football helmets, and usually there's a team name or a helmet maker's name on there. Does anybody help me out with what that says on Iowa State's helmet? It says all in. The phrase all in, it's a great phrase to have a winning mentality on a sports team. And everybody is together buying into a single concept and striving together to win a goal. Would this phrase best suit you when it comes to describing your relationship with God? Are you all in? It pains me to see young people not want to be all in with God. To get out on their own and not show that they're all in with God. It tears at me a lot. And Carson George made that step recently. And it's arguable that it's harder for a young man to make that step because of the duties that we take turns doing as members. What are the duties of someone who's not all in? They await the same, they sit around and they live their lives and they wait for the same fate as the world that hates God. If you go to Revelation 3 verses 15 and 16, it says, I know thy works that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. There are things that we all are passionate about in our personal lives outside of here that don't have anything to do with God, and that's fine. But we should have more passion for God than about anything else. Anything. If you go to Matthew 12 and 30, it says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. If you're not gathering with God, then you're scattering. Just scattering nothingness. And then if you go a few verses down further in 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can you be evil? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of thy heart thy mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy works thou shalt be condemned. Your words and your works, that's what you're going to be judged by. John 14 and 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love God, then we should have no problem doing that. If you turn to 1 Peter, My Bible's falling apart. Verses 13 and 19. 13 through 19. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. But as he that hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is how we should want to be if we're all in with God. We should have no problem wanting to be acceptable for God if that's what we're all in. If that's what we're all the way in. If you see a pool, some people are all the way in, some people are down under the water, they're all the way in. They're not just getting their feet wet. And when it comes to following God, we shouldn't be just wanting to get our feet wet. We should be all in, every bit of us. If you go over to Colossians, the third chapter, verses 17 through 25. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and by the Father. And the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, that is fit to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. What is eye service as men pleasers? It's done by those people just to make it look good. There's no heart. It's just a glossy covering to make it look good. God sees deeper than that. And if we're all in, it's got to be deeper than just looking good. And if it doesn't look good to man, it's not going to look good to God either. If you go over to Romans 12, I know there's a lot of scripture in this today, but it was awful hard for me to eliminate some of this stuff. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind has to be transformed from the things of this world. You can't go on like everybody else that you run into across in your daily life. You've got to be transformed to be a Christian. For as I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt with every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation of our faith, proportion of our faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We should be willing to accept all these things. 10 on through the rest of the chapter. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Leave it up to God. Don't let anger take over everything. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You're supposed to do these things in front of everybody so that you might be a good example to others, to be good to one another. Even when you're not at church, you should be willing to set the example that maybe people that even fell away might be tempted to come back. I understand it being a struggle to avoid sin, because we're all sinful. We all struggle. We all have different things that are tempting to us to do. I can't understand not being all in for serving God. I can't understand it. If you ignore him, what is your purpose in life? What's the purpose in existing if it's not for God? Did the world just create itself? Evolve on its own? That's silly. It had to have something to create it, to put it there. Some call us weak to believe in something that we can't see. But we have to be a lot stronger to be able to believe in what we can't see, truthfully. And the Bible People created idols because they wanted to worship something that they could see. It takes a lot of strength to have faith to believe in God who we can't see right now. But if we fight the battle, then we're assured that we can see him someday. And baptism is the first step to being all in. Getting all in and all under that water. And confessing that you believe in Christ and that he has the power to take away your sins. And that you say that I want to be a part of it. It's not that hard to walk, is it? If you avoid trying to get up here to confess your sins and take that step to come up here and get baptized, it's not hard to walk. There'll come a time when it's hard for you to walk if you ignore the opportunities that are given to you, because there isn't going to be much walking in hell if you disregard what God has given you the chance to be. You have to be all in. It is the time that you confess your belief to Christ and sacrifice the things of the world and accept that Christ washes your sins away and accept that lifestyle. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body being many, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we're all one once we become a Christian. If you go to Romans 6, there'll be a lot of reading out of this one too. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are baptized with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Don't let it stay there, that you should be obeying the lust of it. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, that you are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin hath no dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to him. You obey whether of sin unto death or obedience of righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, and because you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity. Even so, now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you are the servants of sin, you are free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants unto God, you have fruit unto holiness, and at the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. We aren't to have anything to do with this unrighteousness of the world. We should put it behind. And I would hope that everyone here would put everything in the world behind and be all in. We are all linked together in these verses if we serve him, and no reason not to serve him unless you are preparing for the devil and his angels and staying where the fire is not quenched. If you decide not to be all in, you affect so many other people in your life other than just yourself. Flood them with frustration. Some people give all they have, and some people have it all and give it away. These things that I've been reading about, these things that you give up to serve God, I have no problem anything in here giving up to serve God, because I want to be happy someday. But there's one thing in the Bible that I have a harder time dealing with than anything else, and that's free will. And it's something that I'm always going to have a hard time with. I believe in God with every fiber of my being. I grew up with both sets of grandparents in the church, and I'm thankful to God for that. And my parents both decided to serve God, and both my brothers. And I can't stand seeing signs that make me doubt that will always be the case, and that my kids will follow in that. Seeing problems arise has affected my health and my attitude toward life overall. 3 John, the first chapter in the fourth verse, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that all my children walk in truth. This verse haunts me so much because I want it to be true. Every day of my life I think about it. Not just for me, but for everybody. And I can't control what everybody decides. And it drives me nuts. I want to be able to control it, but I can't. And I don't know how God hates sin. And every day he watches child after child decide to stop serving him. He sees it almost on a daily basis, I'm sure. my kids decide not to serve God, I will beat myself up till the day I die over not being a better parent to help my kids set themselves up. Because I will always feel like there's something more that I could have done. If you go to 2 Peter in closing, the third chapter, verses 9 through 13. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all that should come unto repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things which shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, being beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you might be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him that hath written unto you. How can we not be all in? How can we not want to be in a place where everything is perfect and trade that in for a few hours on this earth because we're not willing to stand up for God? And trade it in for a salvation or an eternal life of burning and pain. I want the good stuff. I've had enough of this. I hope that everybody will someday be all in. You have an opportunity to make that your case this morning. If you haven't accepted God and you're that age where you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for our sins, if you can say that, then you can be baptized. You're old enough to accept it. There shouldn't be anything else holding you back. You have that opportunity to do that. You have the opportunity to make things right with God as we stand and sing the invitation song.